Four times John and Rodney furthered the evolution of mankind, and one time they just changed history. By Lavian. Recorded by Penny for the Handmade Meme. Well, it's my fault, after all. 1. Just after the Big Bang. 2 minutes and 53 seconds after the universe burst into existence, it was already a battlefield. Countless hadrons and antihadrons, leptons and antileptons had annihilated each other until near total eradication of their kind. Blobs of antimatter lurked to do in unsuspecting photons. At this point, Meritron was just waiting for the spontaneous creation of antineutrons to snuff him out as well. Hey! A passing proton spun to face him, grinning wildly as they tumbled through the expansion. Great time to be, isn't it? Considering time has been in existence for, a whole 3 minutes now, I'm going to... Hold that thought. The proton dipped and swerved to avoid a charged electron. Meritron grasped as the electron zipped by, missing the proton by... Well, not by much, it looked like. Good reaction time, he admitted grudgingly. The proton had returned to his side. Yeah, the proton said. Hey, listen, have you heard of this new helium thing? Meritron scoffed. What? You mean the nucleosynthesis of protons and neutrons into atoms? Of course I've heard of that. It's supposed to be safer than just floating around. The proton waggled his up quarks. You're a neutron, aren't you? Meritron gaped at him. You... Are you coming on to me? The proton grinned right back. Hi, I'm Sheptron. Want a fuse? Oh, my plank. Does that line work on anyone? I don't know. Does it? Sheptron waggled his up quarks again. It looked ridiculously... cute. Meritron felt his own down quarks twitch in response. Come to think of it, helium was rumoured to be safer than simply spinning through the expansion on one's own, especially for a baryon with no net charge like him. Helium is made of... two pairs, Meritron said shyly. Yeah, my friends Dextron and Emmatron already agreed to join in. Sheptron nudged closer. Their quarks sizzled as they brushed against each other. We're going to make a great team. Meritron shivered pleasantly at the thought of what it might be like to fuse with someone. Yeah, he said a little dazedly. Okay. Turned out it was awesome. 2. Swimming in the primordial soup. Thecomoeba rodnia sighed, mournfully, digesting 3 bacteria in his vacuoles. It had been inexplicably restless lately, consumed by a kind of itch that had the fine hairs on its cell membrane quiver with nervous energy. Eating again? Thecomoeba johnia rolled through their nutrient-rich habitat, its own theca messy and significantly fuller than rodnia's own scattered hairs. Rodnia sniffed and glomped on another bacterium, drawing it into its body. I have to eat regularly or I'll go into hibernation, it declared, and added, as you well know. Yes, I know, life-threatening condition, very stressful, I wonder you've made it this far. As always, Johnia displayed a complete lack of sympathy for Rodnia's many hardships in life. Instead, it hovered in place and seemed to fidget. Rodnia turned away and stretched one pseudopod after a passing archaeon. The itch was back, humming beneath its cell membrane, and Johnia was the cause. Rodnia dreamed about them sometimes, when it was curled up into a microbial cyst, drifting through the habitat until it bumped into something edible. It dreamed about touching Johnia, enveloping it with every pseudopod it could form to press their bodies together until there was not a thaker's breadth of space between them. It dreamed about the two of them joining, melting together in glorious passion until it was impossible to tell where one ended and the other began. They would be so great together. Inseparable. Perhaps they could even create something entirely new, unlike any amoeba that had come before them. But all Rodnia's dreams were simply that, foolish hopes that would lead to nothing. It chased them away and concentrated instead on reeling the struggling Archaean in. Behind it, Johnia was still fidgeting. Did you ever think about, reproduction? It blurted. The Archaean struggled free, vanishing into the depths of the habitat, and Rodnia choked on its own vacuole and turned back around to boggle at Jonia. "Are you... what?" It pulled itself together, waving a pseudopod in Jonia's direction. "This is hardly a conversation for mealtimes, is it? Also, my chromosomes aren't ready for mitosis." It crossed two of its other pseudopods over its cell membrane. "I was thinking more like, Jonia seemed to be swimming in an ocean of discomfort. "You know, conjugation. Or something." Rodnia stared at Jonia. "Could it be? Did they share the same dream?" It shivered, anticipation bringing the itch that much closer to the surface. "Perhaps we could practice? To get it right?" Jonia beamed at it. "We could do that." And they did. A lot. 3. Jurassic times. Tyrannosaurus Dex was a majestic creature, taller than most of his kind, standing proud in the face of the greatest danger. He was faster than most, too, a true runner if there ever had been one. He spent his days hunting down the Rathosiraptors that had killed his mother and his nestmates, leaving him the only one of their clan to survive. He also ate them. Hey, he was a carnivore, after all. However self-sufficient Tyrannosaurus Dex might be, he still did not fight alone. A powerful ally lurked in the deep water just off the nearby coast, streamlined, and deadly as Tyrannosaurus Dex drove another school of Rathosiraptors into the sea. He had met Platelaptogia years ago, striking up a friendship with her that was perhaps a bit unlikely, but they both had a common goal. They wanted to see the Rathosiraptors dead. But as well as the two of them had worked in tandem, recently they had become a quartet. Shepherdopteryx, a sleek black creature with feathered wings and sharp teeth, more often than not served as bait to lure the Rathosiraptors in, or draw them out of their nests. He was maybe the size of Tyrannosaurus Dex's forepaw, but also quick and agile and more than willing to risk his life for the greater good. The latter was much to the frustration of their oddest team member, Meridistrodon. He was even smaller than Shepherdopteryx, and lived in constant fear of being eaten alive by something. Anything, really. Meridistrodon had short, light brown fur, and an unending appetite for insects and tiny lizards. He also claimed to have the biggest brain in two megaforests, relative to body size, of course, and the general success rate of his plans for decimating the Rathosiraptors backed him. Shepherdopteryx thought Meridistrodon was the best thing since the invention of flight. Meridistrodon, in turn, thought that Shepherdopteryx wasn't entirely stupid, which for him was practically the same sentiment. Platelapterygia thought the two of them were cute. Tyrannosaurus Dex just wanted to kill more Rathosiraptors, so he didn't care. One day, they found a creature of a different kind, cowering in a newly emptied nest of Rathosiraptors, surrounded by the bodies of its brethren. It was an ugly little thing, scrawny and covered in dark fur, its forelegs longer than its hind legs. Meridistrodon wanted to call it a mammal of origins not known and evidently young. Shepherdopteryx whacked Meridistrodon over the head with a wing and named the creature Monkey. Platelapterygia rolled her eyes but didn't disagree, so Tyrannosaurus Dex just nodded. Whatever. He really didn't care. But they kept the thing. After all, every great team needed a mascot. 4. Homo erectus. On hit Ro overhead and drag Ro back to cave. That teach Ro to ogle female. Touch better. On touch Ro best. Ro touch on best. Female go be blonde somewhere else. On keep Ro for himself. 1. Tenochtitlan, circa 1521. "So," Juan Sherpado said as he leaned back in his golden chair, "I wasn't expecting the Huaytatloni to be quite so pale or blonde." Rodney Zuma, ruler of the Aztec Triple Alliance, waved his hand dismissively. I am the son of Tonatua. The son, he added, at Juan's blank expression. Anyway, I wasn't expecting the conquistadors to be quite so... He blatantly looked Juan up and down. Scrawny.
Conquistadors, Juan said mildly.
Yes, whatever. Rodney Zuma waved his hand again. He really was surprisingly pale and blonde and blue-eyed. He was also surprisingly alluring.
Juan shifted in his chair. Rodney Zuma smirked at him.
Say, he said, licking his lips, are you familiar with Xocolatl?
No, Juan said absently.
Rodney Zuma's lips looked all wet and shiny.
Is that a fruit?
Rodney Zuma's smirk widened.
Allow me to show you.
Later that night, sweaty and sticky and thoroughly blissed out, Juan turned to meet sleepy blue eyes and mumbled,
You know, I think our countries would be awesome together. How about reaching an agreement of mutual non-aggression?
I'm sure we'll figure something out, Rodney Zuma slurred and reached for him again.
And that's how the United Spanish Aztec Empire really started out.